on a Monday. It is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Department of Health Services is engaging in emergency rulemaking to address the COVID-19 pandemic. The state Supreme Court sided with Republican lawmakers last week, overturning Governor Evers' Safer at Home order. So we're looking at what comes next as Republican lawmakers appear to reject a statewide approach. How do you feel about a new statewide rule to battle COVID-19? What questions do you have about regional regulations that govern whether businesses can be open now? We're at 800-642-1234. Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol reporter, and she's co-host of the WPR Politics podcast. Laurel, thanks for being here.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Well, take us back to Wednesday last week when the state Supreme Court struck down the stay-at-home order. What exactly made this order unconstitutional?
So really what it came down to in this particular case was where the order came from. So the court found that the Department of Health Services Secretary Andrea Palm didn't have the authority to issue such a wide-ranging and sweeping stay-at-home order. Essentially, they ruled that the Evers administration, through Palm specifically, exceeded its authority. I think it's really important for folks to know that this wasn't about Governor Tony Evers' power, gubernatorial powers to issue an order like this. It was specifically about the Department of Health Services Secretary and how much that department can do in the face of a public health crisis like this.
So, Laurel, is there a difference between an order and a rule? What about those two words there?
So that's a really important distinction and something that we're going to be talking about in the coming days. There are things in Wisconsin called administrative rules or emergency rules. Those are things that have to go through kind of a sort of legislative process. They have to go before a committee of lawmakers. They have to have approval from that committee. What Palm had issued and was at question in the lawsuit was simply an order that the administration can do without the involvement of the legislature, which is kind of what irked the legislature in this case and why they filed the lawsuit. They wanted to have more involvement. They wanted to have a seat at the table. They said something that was affecting so many Wisconsinites should have their elected officials involved in crafting it.
So how has the governor responded to the decision by the high court?
Well, the governor hasn't been terribly pleased. Unsurprisingly, you know, he wasn't happy when the lawsuit was filed. Immediately after the decision came out on Wednesday night, he was on a call with reporters and he said, this is a direct quote. He said, "Today, Republican legislators convinced four members of the state Supreme Court to throw the state into chaos. Republicans own that chaos." So he's been very critical of the effects of the court ruling and the GOP lawsuit.
We're talking about the legislative process for passing a new emergency rule to combat COVID-19. We have WPR's Laurel White with us. What questions do you have about the rulemaking process? Do you support having a new emergency rule in place? Do you want to see some of the state's restrictions lifted or eased? Join in at 800-642-1234. There's a line for you. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said that he hopes the Supreme Court case would lead to more of a collaborative relationship between the governor and the legislature during a virtual town hall hosted by TMJ4 News last week.
Governors around the country, Republican and Democrat, have really been a more collaborative process where they brought legislative leaders together, both parties, to be able to say we're fighting the virus, not each other. That's all we've been asking for.
So have we seen, Laurel, in recent days, more collaboration between lawmakers and the Evers administration?
Well, we did see a meeting between Republican leaders and the governor late last week after the lawsuit was, you know, finalized, after the ruling came out, so they could sit down together and kind of figure out steps forward. I think it's important to mention that, you know, at that first meeting, the governor said there wasn't much movement toward any sort of agreed upon plan between all the parties. There wasn't any sort of baseline negotiation about here's what we want from a, you know, a safer at home order that applies to the whole state, kind of the next iteration of what the state might do. Here's what you want. Here's, you know, what we can agree on. The governor said that it was more of just a meeting where leaders said they were happy with the court ruling and didn't seem that interested in crafting a new statewide order at this point in time. So it's going to be interesting to see sort of what comes out of that spirit of collaboration that the speaker and the Senate majority leader said that they wanted, whether that's kind of waiting for something else to happen in Wisconsin before the state issues another order, or whether they start kind of moving slowly on something new right now.
Have we heard anything out of the Senate Majority Leader, Scott Fitzgerald?
So after the meeting, he issued a statement actually on Twitter that was the only information that he released about the meeting, just saying that he was happy with it. He was happy to get the ball rolling and that he was kind of happy to have that seat at the table that lawmakers had been pushing for a while. But certainly no specifics about, you know, any negotiations that the governor said didn't happen at the meeting, or things that the Senate Majority Leader wanted to happen moving forward.
Well, let's take a call now. Chris is joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Chris.
Hi. I'm sorry. I am so angry that I am absolutely shaking. I work in a hospital, and now these people think that they can go out and go to the bars and do anything they want, and when they get sick, they should come in, and I'll take care of them, and then maybe I'll get sick and die. I'm going to have to quit my job over this. I'm just so angry about this. They should just, if they're going to do this, they should stay home when they get sick. That's how I feel. Thank you so much.
Chris, thank you for the call. So, Laurel, you know, there's been certainly responses like Chris saying that they want a statewide stay-at-home order. What are you hearing from that end?
So there's definitely, I think, the perspective that Chris shared that there needs to be more of a restriction to protect healthcare workers. I think the pushback and kind of the perspective that Republicans have had throughout this process, back before they really had more of a seat at the table before this court decision, was that there needed to be a more regional approach to safer at home in Wisconsin, that communities that have had fewer cases should be able to have fewer restrictions, and that, you know, there was a balance that could be done between the interests of the business community that wanted to open back up and kind of get commerce moving again, the economy moving again in a different way than it has been over the past several weeks, and kind of that health concern. So there's a push and pull.
Yeah, some cities, though, feel like they don't have the legal standing to enforce local stay-at-home orders, that they would be exposed to legal challenges. Is that a concern?
It's absolutely a concern. And that's something that we saw on Friday developing really quickly, because a lot of communities issued those local safer at home orders immediately after the court ruling to kind of put that regional protection in place. But then after getting some legal advice within their offices and from the Wisconsin Counties Association, they learned that there might be a little bit of ambiguity there, that they might be in legal trouble because their powers come from the same law that was, struck down in the Supreme Court lawsuit. So there's a lot of question marks there about what counties can do.
We're talking with WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White. Did you notice immediate changes after the stay-at-home order was struck down? Are businesses opening up in your area? What do you think lawmakers should do at this point? Be part of this 800-642-1234 email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're talking about the DHS's, Department of Health Services, emergency rulemaking in response to the state Supreme Court overturning the governor's safer-at-home order last week. Its scope statement states that without a vaccine or treatment, there is presently no viable alternative but to regulate social distancing. So do you see an alternative to containing the spread of COVID-19? Should Wisconsinites have autonomy to make individual decisions on social distancing? Or do you support a statewide rule? We're at 800-642-1234. We have WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White, who stays with us. Let's take another call now. Annalisa is joining us from Green Bay. Hi, Annalisa.
Good morning. My question has been, why didn't the order come directly from the governor? Doesn't the Secretary of Health report to the governor? I never understood why the order came from her and not from the governor's office. Thank you.
Thank you, Annalisa. Laurel?
That's a great question. So basically, it comes down to the fact that the governor has a limited amount of time in his emergency powers when a public health emergency like this happens. It kicks in and it only lasts for 60 days after the beginning of the public health emergency that he actually declares. And he declared it early on in this case. And so they had the Department of Health Services secretary issue this because the governor's emergency powers expired actually on May 12th. And the DHS secretary powers under the state law that they said they had authority to issue this order under never expire. So it was sort of a thought that, you know, they can issue the statewide safer at home and they don't have to worry about it ending on May 12th.
Does that answer your question? Oh, Annalisa is gone. All right. Thank you so much for that call. Let's go to Kathy now in Lac des Flambeaux. Hi, Kathy.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My comment is that we are noticing the influx of people up into the northern area, and a lot of them are not wearing the PPE, personal protection equipment. And this county is known for having a very high number of elderly people who are susceptible. And I do wish that they would take into account that they are exposing us. And there was an excellent article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on Friday, May 15th. It's editorial front page, and it's up to us to protect our neighbors, and it's an excellent article, and it also covers the state of the politics going on in Wisconsin.
Well, Kathy, we appreciate you giving us a sense of what it is like in tourist areas and in the North Woods. Laurel, that is a big concern that there will be travel going on here with the lifting of a statewide order and people moving into those vacation areas.
Absolutely. That's something that health officials have been talking about for a long time, long before this court decision was issued, because there are, of course, in smaller communities in northern Wisconsin, smaller populations, there are fewer resources in terms of healthcare, places for people to go if they do contract COVID-19. So if the virus were to spread in a significant way up there, that would be just an incredible burden on the health systems in that part of the state. And that's something that health officials have certainly been wanting to prevent. And a way to prevent that is folks from other parts of the state or even out of state going to those areas of Wisconsin, which we know are beautiful and people want to visit, but certainly poses pretty big problems at this point.
We're talking about lawmakers' response to the pandemic with Laurel White, WPR State Capitol reporter, with your insights on your questions, what you're seeing in your part of the state, 800-642-1234. Laurel, let's get into the rulemaking process then. State Senator Steve Noss of Whitewater is rejecting a proposal from the Evers administration to replace the stay-at-home order. So what are you seeing out of this committee and what might happen through the rulemaking process?
So this is a new process for a lot of people. I know for me, I was familiarizing myself with what the emergency rulemaking process looks like in Wisconsin, something we're not used to. Basically, what happens is that the Department of Health Services issues that scope statement that you mentioned earlier. They've already done that. The governor's approved it. It goes through a 10-day waiting period that starts today. And then the department can officially draft the statement and then send it to the legislative committee that Senator Steve Noss is a part of. He's actually one of the co-chairs of that committee. So him coming out and saying that he already disapproves of the scope statement that DHS has written, which is a very early step in this process, is not a good sign for how this emergency rule is going to move through the process and get approval from lawmakers. The power of this committee is a little bit different than what we see in other legislative committees. As I understand it, they can eliminate parts of the emergency order as the emergency rule as it's written by the department, or they can eliminate it entirely. So it can kind of go through this process, and then this committee of lawmakers can essentially veto it. You know, we talk about the governor having veto power, zeroing something out. In this case, lawmakers on this committee have that power.
And we're going to be talking with NASA's colleague, Joan Ballwig, Representative Joan Ballwig, here a little later this hour. So, and she too is in the same camp, it sounds like, that Senator Steve Noss is in, that a statewide rule at this point, just not necessary. So what do you see among lawmakers? Do they have similar feelings about what steps should be next for Wisconsin as it looks to contain the spread of COVID-19?
Well, what we're starting to hear from Republican lawmakers in this new phase of negotiation and talking about this new emergency rulemaking process is that they think, and this is something that the leader said pretty quickly after the lawsuit was decided, after the court ruled, that there should be some state response, but only if there's a surge in COVID-19 cases, only if there's some sort of change to what's happening right now in Wisconsin. So I think the question here is, when that's their view and they have the majority and are certainly in control of this committee, what does a surge look like? What are their criteria for rolling out a new state response? Because we know that they have been for weeks in support of regional responses, kind of allowing local officials to do what they want, and are kind of slow to have a statewide kind of 72 county response because they think that's too broad. So when would that need to happen? I think that's kind of the big question right now. And is there any change in their view, knowing that there's kind of some legal questions on the parts of counties and even individual cities in Wisconsin about whether they actually have the power to have a, you know, quote unquote, regional approach and issue their own orders and kind of go their own way and respond as they want to?
Let's take another call. Mary Kay is with us from Kenosha. Hi, Mary Kay.
Good morning. I'm like to talk about the healthcare workers. Anybody that's been at a hospital knows that they always need extra help, okay? So when you open up businesses, they should have a mandatory PPE. You have to wear a mask. You have to social distance until we could get a cure for this disease. Also, the air quality of these buildings. Something needs to be done about the air quality in these buildings. So they can open up, but they're going to have to follow our rules. That's what the government should issue.
Mary Kay, thanks for the call. Laurel, it sounds like Mary Kay would like some mandatory PPE, personal protective equipment, orders to go down here.
Yeah, and that's really the kind of the push and pull here. That's definitely something that we know that the governor wants, and having that kind of rule, really. I think what we're seeing the state moving toward, and what Republicans have said that they are generally in favor of, is more of a honor system, I guess you could call it. They said that they trust people, they trust businesses to do the right thing and wear the protective equipment, wear masks when they're out in public, respect social distancing guidelines, have hand sanitizer available if you're a business, do other things like that. So sort of the difference between trusting people to do that and issuing the guidance for them to do that and having the requirement that they do that is really the big discrepancy right now between, I think it's safe to say, the Evers administration and the Republicans who are in charge of the legislature.
And very quickly in seconds here, where are we at with Evers' bounce back plan, Badger bounce back?
So Badger bounce back now kind of doesn't have any teeth anymore. It's going to still be there and something that we can look at. But Badger bounce back was created as a way to kind of see how close we could get to those phases of reopening the state. Now the governor doesn't really have the power to do that, the governor's administration, because of the striking down of the stay-at-home order. So Badger bounce back is more of just an informational thing at this point instead of something that spurs action by the state.
Laurel, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Laurel White is WPR's State Capitol reporter. The State Capitol report continues with the Assembly Chair of the Legislative Committee that has veto power over new statewide proposals restricting gatherings. We talk with Representative Joan Ballwig after this news update on the Ideas Network. On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. The Joint Committee for Review of Administrative Rules has authority to meet and make changes to proposals that the Evers administration puts forward, blocking them in whole or in part. How do you feel about COVID-19 state rules going through the legislature's rulemaking process? What questions do you have for the committee's co-chair? We're at 800-642-1234. Republican Representative Joan Ballwig of Marquesan co-chairs the Joint Review of Administrative Rules Committee. Representative Ballwig, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me. I know this is a difficult time, and this whole idea of rulemaking is something that is not high on the public spectrum of understanding.
Well, yeah, and hopefully you can help guide us here. Wisconsin health officials yesterday reported more than 450 new coronavirus cases. They saw a 20% increase in hospitalizations from Saturday to Sunday. How do you feel about new statewide rule proposals to contain the spread?
Well, that's just it. We don't have a rule yet coming forward. We have a scope statement that is out there, which is the beginning part of a rule, kind of giving the public a general idea of where the department is going to be going and putting something together. We won't actually see what that proposal is for at least 10 days, could even be longer, but there will be hopefully announced with the information that will be published today, the information on how the public can actually make comments and the appropriate time for the public to make comments on what will eventually be in the rule that the department will bring forward.
Do you think the state needs a rule to manage COVID-19?
Well, I think the not in the same sense that we had a prior rule. We've talked about some of the Badger bounce back and the safer at home orders. And I think what we've been seeing around the state is, especially with other essential businesses that are out there, that there we do need to move forward on reopening the state. This was not when the legislature made this Supreme Court case, we were hoping that this would come through quicker than it did. If you take a look at the opinion that Chief Justice Rogensack wrote, she said in her opinion, hopefully the governor and the legislature have been working on this while they were going through the decision-making process, because that is what this suit was about, to get, as you said in some of your prior interviews, to have the legislature have a seat at the table. And so I think that is what we need to bring Wisconsin together on, what is our best way to move forward on this.
Has the legislature, the assembly, the state senate, has there been collaboration in recent days since the Supreme Court overturned safer at home orders? What have you seen as a lawmaker?
Well, we know that the governor and legislative leaders spoke last week about this. Hopefully now during this 10-day period, while the scope statement is out there for people to make public comments, they'll actually sit down together and work out what is going to be best to be in this rule, what is the best way for us all to move forward. My understanding, they're going to be talking again this week, but that doesn't bode well for actually working together on a plan. We know what the governor has had out there. There are a couple other plans that have been put out. WMC has a plan on criteria so the public feels safe.
Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. Yeah, Wisconsin.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So they've put out something that would allow for individual businesses to take a look at the criteria, let the public know the safety criteria coming into their business. A couple of our legislative colleagues have put out some plans. So I think between safer at home, those kinds of ideas, if we could get everyone to seriously sit down and take a look at what is the best way forward would be the best.
We have Representative Joan Balwig, who is a lawmaker representing the 41st District of the State Assembly. We're looking at how to go forward as a state and as lawmakers are part of the process looking for new rules in battling COVID-19. What are your thoughts on lawmakers coming together? 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Mal now, joining us from Richfield. Hi, Mal.
Hi. So I might be wrong here, but I thought the order was struck down because it was extended by somebody other than Governor Evers. And I was wondering why Governor Evers couldn't just re-implement the first order.
Sure. So Governor Evers in state statute has authority for 60 days to be able to do an emergency. And this was put in state law many years ago. And the original part of the law said it had to do with war or nuclear attack. I was actually on a study committee about 10 years ago where we added in, you know, the whole pandemic language. So it was understood that the governor should have immediate response because you don't know who is going to be available to actually react when it comes to these situations. The Secretary Designee Palm used a different part of state statute to put in her extension of that order, which would normally have to do with localized epidemic or some kind of special event, so that a general area would maybe be quarantined. And I think that's where the bigger issue came in, that the public pushed back on having to say that the entire state needed to be treated the same way. Now, that is why the legislature said we really need to have this come through a rule, which is the usual way of agencies putting out directives through the administrative code.
Well, let's take a call now. Bill is with us in Milwaukee. Or is it, I'm sorry, is it Kelly in Milwaukee? Oh.
Hi, this is Bill from Green Lake.
Bill in Green Lake. Okay, I'm sorry. There was a switch on the names here. Bill, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm familiar with the rulemaking process, and it just seems to me to be totally inappropriate for an emergency like this. I mean, just the statement of scope, as I understand it, nobody is supposed to work on a rule for the 10 days. So I just don't see how that's going to work.
Bill, thanks for the call. Now Kelly in Milwaukee. Kelly, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I feel that I work in healthcare, and I'm very used to going through disaster preparedness and emergency situations. And you need to have somebody that's solidly in charge for everyone else to kind of know what they need to do. And we've just undermined our leadership in this without a solid plan in place that we can all, as a citizen here and as a healthcare worker, I feel just a heightened sense of nervousness and fear over what's going to happen because we don't have a solid plan that we can rely on. And I feel like that was a irresponsible move to undermine the leadership before having a solid plan in place that we could all just step right into.
Kelly, thanks. So Bill and Kelly, Representative Echo, I think that Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes gave an analogy over the weekend. It's like calling 911. The fire department comes, but they have to wait for an approval to use the water hose.
Well, I certainly don't agree with that analogy in that the governor knew he had the authority for 60 days, and the legislature has been asking to have a seat at the table throughout that time period. And when the lawsuit was put forward, it was clear that we were asking for that access so that we could come together with a plan for both the executive branch and the legislative branch to come together. Unfortunately, it is in the regular rulemaking process. This is a process that has been in effect since the 50s. The power of the Joint Committee on Review of Administrative Rules to suspend all or in part parts of a rule has been in effect since 1965. So this isn't anything that should be a surprise to the administration. As I mentioned before, Justice Rogenczak talked about why weren't you talking during the couple of weeks that they were still coming together to come out with their opinion. So the rulemaking process is what it is, and it's been there for a very long time. This is nothing new.
What is your expectation for what should happen during that 10-day period?
My expectation, my hope, is that the governor will give more opportunity for the legislative leaders so that they can formulate a plan which will come to the Joint Committee, and we don't actually have to do anything with it. That'll be something that we can agree to. Now, if the governor has some facets of it that would be agreeable and some that are not, as you said in the earlier interview with Laurel, the committee can suspend parts or let parts go through. My example would be, say the governor says that professional sports can make their own determinations as to how to move forward. If there'll be a Packer game or a Badger game with fans, just as he said in his press briefing almost 2 weeks ago now, that the tribes as sovereign have the authority to open up their casinos when they feel it's the time to do it. So I think the governor understands that there are folks out there that are doing things that are inviting the public into their facilities or into their venues, and feels that they should have the autonomy to make sure that they can do things safely. And then
we have to pause. There with Representative Joan Balwig of Marquesan on the line as we look at the future of how state lawmakers respond to COVID-19. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. The State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have Representative Joan Balwig of Marquesan. Her district encompasses an area from Ripon to Castle Rock in the central part of the state. The Joint Committee for Review of Administrative Rules, as we've been talking about, has 10 members. What questions do you have for its co-chair? Still time to talk. And Representative Balwig, you stay with us, and you were trying to make a point there just as we had to go to a break. Go ahead.
Certainly. The bottom line is people are going to return to businesses and tourist industries and go out into the public when they feel confident and when they feel comfortable. And I think that we'll still see quite a lag in people going out to those businesses. As you mentioned, my district is agriculture and tourism. So agriculture, of course, is very busy right now, but economically it's been hit pretty hard with some of the breaks in the supply chain and so on, and the price of milk. And tourism, of course, is pretty much stopped at this point, although in my part of the world, anyone who had a summer place, they've been here for weeks already. If they came from Madison, if they came from Illinois, if they came from Minnesota, all those folks are already here.
Let's take another call. Rich is joining us from Rhinelander. Hi, Rich.
Hi. We are going into Memorial Day weekend, and as your guest, Representative Baldwin, said, Wisconsin is a tourism state. We have people pouring into the state from all over the place, some major metropolitan areas. And I would think it would be good if the people of Wisconsin were made very, very clear about what the standards of exchange and behavior were here in the state. Because when people come in to visit, they can be made more comfortable if they know how people are conducting themselves. But
Rich, thank you. Representative Bollwig, how do we communicate clear standards of rules and what is okay with social distancing? What is okay for retailers? How can Wisconsin be on the same page?
Well, with what the governor and Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation has put out already, they have recommendations for returning to open businesses. As essential businesses have learned this on the way, since they were never closed, they had to go in and set up signs or markers for social distancing. We've seen individual businesses that have said that they need to have face masks for their patrons. That was never a rule, and that was never part of anything that was directed. It was suggested for folks, and as an owner of an essential business, we're seeing maybe about 25% of folks that have worn face masks when they come into our business. Of course, we're in a rural area, and people have less concern. But one of your comments in the last segment talked about, you know, mandating face protection. It never was something that was mandated. But back to Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, they have suggested means for restaurants and bars and taverns and retail, hand sanitizing, barriers, all of those things. And I've seen local businesses getting ready with those types of items before the Supreme Court decision came down also.
So let's say that your rule-making committee needs to meet, 10 members. How will you convene?
Well, we've actually had a couple of meetings since the pandemic started, and we are a committee that, by our internal committee rules, does allow for members to call in and to vote by call-in. And our last meeting maybe 2 weeks ago, I think there were, out of the 10, there were 5 of us that were there in person. It is always on Wisconsin Eye and so on. So the other members did phone in for the meeting.
Representative, you know, some cities and municipalities, they feel that they don't have the legal standing to enforce local stay-at-home orders or even local orders, that they would be exposed to legal challenges. If the state takes a patchwork approach here, is it possible to take a regional approach to rules to contain the spread?
Well, certainly if there was something that would be agreed upon from the Department of Health Services and the state level that would come through as a rule, I'm sure that it could be enforced. I think I'm not a lawyer, of course, and those municipal attorneys and county attorneys are reading the law and making those determinations. I think one of the things they've been nervous about in putting something out is if they have the authority to enforce. And I think the big quandary here is there something that they can have authority of to do as a blanket for their population, or in isolated areas. I think that is the point of what my caucus feels is important, that we should be responding to the hot spots. We should be responding to a particular facility that has a high rate of COVID positives, but that doesn't mean that the entire population should be coming, get under those restrictions.
Talking with Representative Joan Baldwig, a lawmaker representing the 41st Assembly District. Let's go to Oshkosh now, where Drew is on the line. Hi, Drew.
Hi. I want to express the disappointment as a small business owner in the state Supreme Court ruling. I've heard from dozens of small business clients that are really sad to see that the Republicans really don't have a plan other than to create mass chaos in the state. And many small business owners agree that we're not the best people to be making these decisions. The experts at the state level should be the ones providing guidance, but unfortunately we don't have any guidance and the Republicans don't have a real plan. So there's been a lot of disappointment from small business owners across the state on that ruling and the lack of plan by the Republican. But my question is, the Supreme Court ruling has been called judicial activism. Actually, it was a USA Today article by a Republican. It was a Republican columnist that wrote it, and he in that article is one of the people that's called it judicial activism. I want to get Joan's input on that.
Representative Baldwig, so two part there from Drew, starting with your thoughts on judicial activism.
Well, I do believe that my opinion, and as he stated, there was someone that had an opinion piece. My opinion was that the ruling was very clear in that Secretary Designee Palm did not have the authority to put in a statewide rule or statewide order, and that she did need to go through the rulemaking process. This isn't unusual at all. Yes, there is a timing issue, and if we would have been working on this throughout the last 2 months of Governor Evers' order, or at least in the couple of weeks since the Supreme Court action was begun, I think we'd be a lot farther down the road in understanding that we needed to work together.
So what would be your message right now to Governor Evers and Department of Health Services head Andrea Palm? What would you tell them?
The same thing I said when we started out the conversation today, that between the department and legislative leaders, please sit down together, take a look at the plans that not only what you have, but what has been put out by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, several of my colleagues, and what can we put together that could be something that would be, if at all, reasonable to put forward. But I would say to Drew and to any other small businesses who are out there, the CDC has had guidelines for safely opening since the beginning. Wisconsin Economic Development has an outstanding guideline. Please take a look at those resources.
Representative, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Representative Joan Baldwig, a legislator representing the 41st District. Just ahead, a psychiatry and behavioral sciences professor tells us what he thinks about the country's mindset standing in the way of the spread. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.